I did it. I watched every video on YouTube, and now the algorithm doesn't know what to do with me. I'm free from its chains. I'm one with the algorithm. Is this what it feels like to be God? No one should have this much power.
Good morning, sweet world, and welcome to the No Dunks Podcast on the Athletic Network. It's Friday, March 4th, and this is The Drop. I'm J.E. Skeets, and alongside me, as always, here in the Classic Factory, we got Tass Mellis.
Hey, everybody.
Hey, Tass. We got our top shot hot boy, Ribbon Them Lips, Trey Kirby.
Hey-o.
Hey, yo. Hey, yo. The international man of mystery taking it to the max, Lee Ellis.
Friends.
Lily. And finally, making the magic happen, super producer J.D.
Hello.
There is. Here we are. Shout out to the stream team. Joining us live right now on YouTube, take a second, hit that little like button, make sure you subscribe to No Dunks on YouTube, and share the show with your friends. Fun Drop podcast here today. It's Five Star Friday, because it's the first Friday of the new month, so Trey will take us through some of the best reviews out there. We got a good batch?
We got a nice crop.
Oh, big old crop.
Take a look at this crop.
We goosed them.
We goosed them in this one, no doubt, Skeets, no doubt.
We'll also play a little Is This News. We've got Rapid Fire Fun, of course, Tweet of the Night, but let's start with the game. Some good ones on last night, and we will begin with Durant returning, scored 31 points, but Bam and the Heat rally to beat the Nets, Tass. And there's some related news with the Nets, but let's start with the game, and then we can get into that Joe Harris unfortunate news.
Yeah, a lot of injuries here for the Miami Heat. Jimmy Butler, big left toe injury. Always makes me laugh. Jimmy Butler, bracket, big left toe. Yeah. He's out. Just funny for some reason. He played the night before, toe injury. PJ Tucker out, Kyle Lowry out, personal reasons. Hopefully everything's right there. The Nets looking good with Kevin Durant up 16 in the second quarter, up 7 at half. KD looking exactly like the KD pre-injury.
Right.
Exactly the same. Phenomenal. But then in the third quarter, former member of the Miami Heat, Goran Dragic, now a member of the Brooklyn Nets, said Eric Spoelstra tricked us with that zone. He tricked them. And they got stalled in their offense, yeah. Although Kevin Durant had a chance late. About a minute left, his three ball went in and out, and that would have given the Nets a lead late in the fourth quarter. So he finishes with 31. But on the other side, the Heat come down the floor, and Bam Adebayo, he sealed it with a score inside. And, some bad rotations there from the Nets on that play, which I just point out Bam Adebayo because going forward with the Miami Heat, he's kind of the guy that bails them out when Jimmy's not going to score on the possession, if Kyle Lowry's not going to score on the possession. The ball gets to Bam, you know, around the free throw line, and he had a great game in this game. And no one's going to talk about his offensive game, but he was 12 of 15, 30 points, did some scoring in the post. Did a lot of rolling on Andre Drummond. Just a very versatile game from Bam Adebayo. Just really solid, 30 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. You got to remember, he wasn't there at the bubble late. He was injured. He was there, but he was injured late in that run for the Miami Heat a mere 2 years ago. So will this team be able to make that kind of run a couple months from now? We shall see. Will the Nets be able to make any sort of run in the playoffs? Well, they need to get their chemistry together. Obviously, it's been said a billion times, Joe Harris will not be a part of that chemistry. Ankle surgery, mm-hmm. out for the season. But Seth Curry coming in for Joe Harris will help, that's for sure. 8 games already with the Nets. It seems like the trade deadline was just a couple weeks ago, coming over from Philadelphia, shooting 44%, looking good. Joe Harris sucks for him in the longest tenured Brooklyn Net. He's been there forever, since 2016, won't be a part of this run. Steve Nash, he'll rely on Seth Curry. He'll rely on Patty Mills, who he says is tired. You don't often hear that from a coach. Patty Mills is tired. He just played too much, so he's got to scale
his
back.
His legs have been working too much, is what Steve Nash said.
Very funny.
It's a good way to say it.
But on the road trip, they'll get Kyrie and Kevin Durant here. It's a 3-game road trip. Brooklyn going to Boston on Sunday. Looking forward to that. Then the Hornets and then the Sixers, as we've talked about, on Thursday. Ben Simmons will definitely not be a part of that game. Sean Marks, GM, said he'll be practicing hopefully late next week. So that's after the game. So he will not be playing in Philadelphia, although they haven't ruled him out. They're just not talking about it. So that's the case there. So I think really from the Nets, we got to wait. We got to wait and see how they're going to come together the last couple months of the season, because they still haven't played together.
I think it is interesting with these two teams playing. You see the Heat missing key guys, like you said, but they keep getting these wins. They get all these contributions from other guys. And Bam was a monster. I mean, he is a star. And I said, like, there's going to be uproar when he's not on the All-NBA team because he missed a big chunk of the season. He's amazing. But all these other guys contribute and they get the win. And where the Nets, you know, yeah, KD's back. of course, missing some other guys, and they don't. And I think this is really an issue here moving forward. You know, KD can win you playoff series, and if Ben's there and Kyrie's playing in some of these games, sure, but all these other guys, all these other, you know, Seth Curry's good and all that, but I don't know. It doesn't add up to going deep by any means in a playoff sort of round here in the Eastern Conference, where I believe in a lot of these Heat guys a lot more. That's for sure.
The Heat have a system, and the Nets just roll the ball
there
out and say, we've got the talent that hopefully you can keep up. But you know, it was just Kevin Durant, basically, last night. 31 points for him, 21 from Bruce Brown. That's nice, but like, you're not worried about 21 points from Bruce Brown. If you're the Miami Heat, you're going to get that back from Max Strus knocking down six threes, scored 21 as well. Bam was great. That's the huge issue for the Nets. They can't stop anybody inside. Andre Drummond, he's a big body. He might be better than what they've had there during this season, but he's still not a great defender in space, and that's going to be a problem if they run into the Heat with Bam, if they run into the Bucks with Giannis, or if they run into Embiid with the Sixers. Like, you're going to be able to mash the Nets inside, so they're going to have to figure out something, some sort of way to take care of that. But the chemistry ain't going to be a thing for the Nets. It's just going to be a matter of, are our guys on fire that night? And that's how they're going to have to win in the season, because I don't think like Ben Simmons is going to change everything defensively for this Nets team. So, I don't know. They still have Kevin Durant, you know, and that's the thing. When Kevin Durant's on fire, he's really good. 31 points after a huge long layoff. He's a hilarious zone buster. Just put him at the free throw line. He's taller than anybody else out there. Pass it to him, he can shoot over the top of it. So that's something the Nets will be able to go to, but I don't know. They're not going to put it together this season, and they'll be hit lucky if they get out of the play-in tournament, I would think. I mean, like, out of the play-in tournament heading into the playoffs. Like, they could get to maybe number six if the Cavs continue to struggle, if the Bulls continue to struggle, but not looking great for the Nets seeding-wise.
It's sort of wild to think about, and I am looking ahead here, that Durant could go through his entire four-year contract here with the Nets without really contending for a title, because first year he's not there. Last year, obviously, Kyrie gets injured, Harden's you know, walking around on one leg, KD's foot's too big, but they lose in the second round. This year, I mean, I don't have a lot of confidence in them, even if Simmons and Kyrie are playing. I mean, I don't. There's better teams in the Eastern Conference. I don't see them going to the finals, let alone the conference finals. So that's 3 years here. It's crazy to think about it.
Yeah.
With the team that they put together there around KD.
Yeah, I think though last night you did see it. Like, Kevin Durant can have a game like that. And having said all that, Seth Curry, if he hits that three, they go up late with about a minute or a minute and a half to go there. And the Heat coming off a loss from the night before where they gave it away, they got probably a bit nervous thinking could happen again here. They didn't. Tyler Hero goes and hits some free throws and knocks it out. But yeah, I just don't see this team on the same page. I think like what Trey said, it's like Kevin Durant's, you know, top two, three, whatever you want in the league still. Kyrie can be a really good offensive player, but he's on his own schedule. And Simmons just isn't, you know, who knows what we're going to get out of him this season. So I don't see this team as a legit contender right now, no matter how good and how silky Kevin Durant looks after having knee injury. He comes back and he's just like, I'm just going to go and get my spots. He's perfect from the free throw line. I mean, he's so silky smooth. He's incredible. So he's amazing. But after that, there's just such a gap between guys who can really take this team to the next level, I think.
When it comes to awards, is the one that's locked up Tyler Hero winning Sixth Man of the Year? Like, I feel like there are a lot of the other ones are still up in the air with, you know, 6 weeks to go. I mean, you can maybe convince me that Monty Williams and the Suns are running away with Coach of the Year, though Spoelstra maybe has something to say about that with all these guys out of the lineup and them might having the number one seed. But it feels like that one, right? Hero,
lock
like that's just a lock. I mean, I guess Vegas thinks John Morant is a lock to win Most Improved too. But yeah, Hero has this, another 27 points. And this, you slipped it in there. This is a really solid win for the Heat after what happened the night before against Milwaukee, where they should have had that one too, and they gave it away at the end.
Right. And as Trey said, they've got the chemistry on the defensive end. The Brooklyn Nets hope to outscore teams, and that's what they hope. They hope that there's an announcement coming soon for Kyrie Irving to be playing full-time. That's a possibility. He'll be playing these next three games and just to be able to do enough on the defensive end. But yeah, the Heat have it all together, and then the Nets just hope that, yeah, they can throw the ball to two guys and then Seth Curry, you know, plays off those guys. I mean, that's that, and Ben Simmons plays off those guys. That's the plan going forward. It's not a bad plan. I don't think it's a bad plan to say, hey, Kevin Durant, you are the best scorer in the entire universe. Here's the ball, man. And I think the chemistry there, as far as the zone goes, was just like, just give the ball to KD. I mean, they need 20 games to just be able to understand each other, move off the ball, move together. Yeah, the games are dwindling, though.
They got 18 games left, and Kyrie's only eligible to play in 7 of them. Right now.
That part is
Ben Simmons may not even coming back in March, for crying out loud.
Yeah, they need
it's
Kyrie.
Insane.
It is weird when you look at how many games Kyrie Irving has played this season.
Yeah. One thing that went well for the Nets, I nearly forgot about it because we jumped right into the game, is we had a wedgie, and oh boy, we had Eagle and Sarah Kustak on the call. You got to hear this.
Curry breaks away. Oh, a wedgie! Curry gets into the wedgie column in Brooklyn for the first time in his career.
Bernie, how excited are you?
I mean, these are like eclipses. You don't get these that often.
Shouts to the No Dunks crew, the former starters. We know how much they love wedgies.
Look at it. It's a thing of beauty.
The light in your eyes and the enthusiasm in your voice
for
has given me life.
It's like a game winner. For me.
Really? Like a game winner?
It's on par with a game winner. That's like a perfect wedgie.
Damn right, Eagle. Oh, what a call by him and Sarah Kustak. Thanks for the shout-out, Sarah. Yeah, up to 28 on the season. Pace still around 40 there, but a perfect wedgie.
We got a weird email the other day, someone saying, you shouldn't stop counting, they don't add anything to the game. And now Iron Eagle saying it's like a game winner. I'm going with Iron Eagle on this one.
Yeah. We always call them like snowflakes. Like everyone is unique. But I don't mind the idea of referring to them as eclipses.
Sure, yeah.
So that worries me because that means they are few and far between. We want more. We want a flurry.
And predictable, right?
Right,
You know when the eclipse is coming. And trust me, we are looking at wedgies. We are staring them dead in the wedgie. Unlike an eclipse, unless you're an idiot. Unless you're a complete fool. A complete fool. Who would look at an eclipse? Come on. Ridiculous stuff.
Crazy.
No, nobody would do that, right?
No. Never.
Nobody would do that. Like on a national stage. No chance. No,
hey, is the moon okay, by the way? Apparently a satellite hit it this morning. On the other side of it, though, so we couldn't see it.
Some space garbage.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that's right. Took out a huge crater.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Sending our
That'll
best
be fine.
To the moon.
It's big enough. Sending our best to the moon. Yeah, Birdie. I like how Sarah Kustak calls Iron Eagle Birdie.
Yeah,
that's great. Yeah. And yeah, I turned that up. I turned that no dunk shout out up when I was sitting in the living room just so Danielle could hear how cool I am. You hear that, honey? She perked up, too. I didn't have to say anything. Her ears just perked up. Wow, that's cool. I forgot about that car that we've had in the body shop for 9 weeks for 5 seconds.
Did you get it back?
No. Getting it back today, maybe. As I write a letter to the Better Business Bureau.
We're gonna see another eclipse before you get your wedgie or your car back.
Sending our best to Danielle and the moon.
Okay, let's go to another game here. Lee, get us started. Jason Tatum, 37 points on his birthday to lead the Celtics past Ja Morant and the Grizzlies 120-107.
Really good game, this one. And I want to give a lot of credit to Ime Udoka, Celtics coach. I thought he had a great game plan in this one. It was basically like Ja Morant, he's great. Three-point shooting is not his strongest suit. Yep. And he was like, we'll let him fire away. We can live with those. If he gets hot, we'll deal with it. Now, he hit some late, but early on he didn't. And I think that sort of got the Grizzlies off to a bit of a slow start. And that Celtics offense itself has really improved a lot as well, to the point where the Grizzlies got a great defense. They were scoring okay down the stretch. They made this one a game they could win, but they just couldn't stop the Celtics scoring, especially Jason Tatum in that fourth quarter. He was deep in his bag on his birthday, going inside, hitting threes, throwing it up to the fans there in Boston. This was a really good test because we've talked about Boston, their recent record, having won 9 out of the last 10 prior to that, against winnable games.
Yeah.
And the Grizzlies are one of the better teams in the league, and they have a really good defense. They pound the offensive glass, and they did that again last night, 17 rebounds, and it didn't really cost the Celtics. And this was all without Jaylen Brown, by the way, who missed this game. Al Horford, I thought, he was brilliant.
Al Horford had 21-15-5. We've got to bring back the comeback player of the year award.
Thorpe-like stuff from Al Horford.
And he hit four threes.
So incredible stuff here. But again, I think this comes down to preparation by the coach of like, this is our plan. This is what we're going to do and stick with it. Mm-hmm. And Ja Morant, I mean, he finishes with 38 points himself there. So he was great. Had another, just a wild highlight that had Brian Anderson just like lost for words on the side.
I had the Celtics fans like.
Oh, everyone.
I mean,
everyone.
He went high with the left hand on
Stan
the crazy
Van.
Colors.
Even Stan oop. Van enjoyed it so much. But so, yeah. Really.
Write the story when the oop is in the air.
Overall, you know, the Grizzlies scored 107 points, didn't play a bad game, but the Celtics were just better than them and so much well prepared, I thought, last night. So good game, good stuff from Jason Tatum.
Yeah, it was a nice showcase game for the Boston Celtics on national TV. They said that this one was highlighted on their calendar, and I like the Al Horford shout-out. I mean, just watching this game, you just forget how good he is, you know, from time to time. And then watching this game, you just saw him on the defensive end, how good he is at coordinating on the back line and just being extremely solid. He's 35 years of age. We barely talked about him this year, but he's just such a key part to that defense. So John Morant, they're sagging off him like crazy. 29 shots, 12 of them from three-point land. Not a good ratio for them, but it was a difficult matchup. We saw him destroy Jakob Poeltl a few days ago, who's, you know, trying to get close to him. The Celtics said, no way. We're sticking back, and Horford, I think, is such a key part of that. He's just so smart defensively, and they are so good defensively. And I think he's kind of a bit of their lifeblood. Like, we won't mention him. We'll mention the two Jays first and Marcus Smart first. But, 21, 15, and 5 assists in 40 minutes.
40 minutes, yeah.
He's really, really key to their team. He's, you know, essentially their best defender, I'd call him, even though he's older. He's really, really, really important to that team.
He pairs well with Time Lord. And
the Twin Towers. That's nice, man. 10 points, 12 rebounds for Robert Williams, 3 steals and 3 blocks. And like you're saying, Lee, Udoka's willing to stick with the game plan. Like, we'll switch Al Horford onto John Morant. He might get cooked. Good thing we got another rim protector hanging out back there who can really move on the back line. So being willing to stick to your plan there and not just panicking because a guy's going for 30 and a half, that's pretty great. And that's very weird to think that the Celtics did a good job playing defense on a guy who scored 38 points in a game.
Yeah.
But it certainly felt like they did, and they did a good job on the offensive glass as well. Like you said, 17 offensive boards for the Grizzlies, but also 15 for the Celtics. So they were getting it back on their end as well. They went big against the Grizzlies big, and they out-bigged. So, nice big stuff.
Are there any teams in the Eastern Conference playing better right now than the Heat and the Celtics? Like, at this point, where we are as we hit 6 weeks?
Maybe Philly, but...
Yeah, you know. Maybe. But Boston is right. I mean, if you look at their defensive, you know, efficiency, like, since... I don't know, before the new year.
Yeah,
but this was against a good team that had all their players, which I think is super, super impressive. Because, the Celtics have beaten a lot of teams who are either a bad team or a good team who are missing somebody. So to have this one scheduled, have it circled on the calendar, Ja coming off some incredible games, like career highs back-to-back, and semi-shut him down. Shut him down as much as you can. At least make it tough, I think, was super impressive. And, you mentioned the alley-oop, Lee. It was the mirror image of the Derrick Rose alley-oop from years ago. People have the video out on Twitter. It literally looks like it's just flipped. Just completely flipped because Ja finishes lefty. Rose's was the right hand. That guy's good at dunking, man.
Oh, my God.
Dunks it back.
You said it was an enjoyable game, and it did sort of get close there. The first half, though, was... everybody was going down with an ankle injury again. I don't know what the hell's going on the parquet floor there because he had Steven Adams rolling his ankle, and then Neesmith had to get... wheelchaired off of the floor. I don't know if there's an update on him. Hopefully it's nothing too extreme. But it was a slog, I thought, the first half. And I was sticking with it. You know, I'm sort of jumping around a little bit. But I'm like, got to keep watching. John Morant is playing.
Oh, that's right.
Something's bound to happen. And then, like a minute or two later after I thought that, I was like, oh, my God.
And then
what an alley-oop.
Marcus Smart took out Robert Williams himself. And then on that same possession, Jaren Jackson basically got an offensive foul for kicking out at someone for the Celtics as well. So there were bodies just flying around.
There was a lot of guys on the ground last night. But hell of a highlight, but a great, great win from the Celtics who continue to just play amazing. They're 38-27 now. They are creeping up on a lot of teams in the Eastern Conference standings because one of them ahead of them lost last night down at the Fortress. So let's go to it. It was the Hawks surging late as Trae Young scored 39. To get the win over your Chicago Bulls. Trey Kirby was in attendance, but I didn't see one single photo from a No Dunks fan out there. So great job on hide and seek, I guess, last night.
I was wearing a wig. People thought, maybe they thought they saw me, but it was another guy. They're like, that's just Bob Ross walking by. this was a real game of basketball. This was a real game of basketball. The Fortress was literary last night, Lee. This is the best game I've seen in person. This season, it was big runs back and forth. Like the Bulls took the lead into halftime, and then after halftime, the Hawks came out and went on a massive run, and the Bulls were looking terrible. Hawks got up by 10, and then the Bulls had an instant 10-point run to get it back even there. It all came down to the fourth quarter, though, and then it was time for the takeover. No defense played for either of these games, so it kind of came down to the best shot maker wins. It was not DeRozan, and it was 100% Trae Young. 39 points, 13 assists. In the fourth quarter, he had 16 points, 3 assists. The Hawks scored 40. Back-to-back threes for Trae in the final minute and a half of this one. Even I was hitting the ice, Trae. I felt like Leo was wearing a Bulls shirt, doing a Hawks celebration. It was undeniable how on fire he was. It was a bit of a revenge game for him because Ayo Dosunmu has been defending him pretty well this season. It's honestly about 2-2 Trae Young versus Ayo in these games here, but the last game was so recent. I think 3-for-17 for Trae. So he came in, had this one circled on his schedule, and just honestly cooked Ayo quite a few times. Yeah. And Ayo was playing well. He had a nice block on him. Coby White got switched on to Trae Young there right at the end of the fourth quarter. He did not have a chance. So Trae was special last night. But for the Bulls, it just kind of came down to zero physicality, to the point where Billy Donovan ran out of lineup with Vucevic and Tristan Thompson. I was like, excuse me? What year is this? And then by the time I saw it, I was like, Tristan Thompson honestly needs to play more. He's drawing fouls on people. He's just running into guys. The Bulls didn't force a turnover in this game until midway through the third quarter.
Whoa.
They took 7 free throws last night.
Yeah.
They were playing a little softy-wafty, no doubt about it. LaVine, you can tell, is lacking a little bit of burst right now. Feels like he's pulling up for mid-range jumpers all the time. He's a good shooter, but he takes some really, really tough shots. So not getting to the free throw line. Not getting in the lane. Vucci had a big first half, 13 points, did nothing in the third quarter, got a couple of baskets there in the fourth, but they need to put some pressure on the rim, and there's nobody doing it right now. Worst part of the night for me. You know, we stuck around late. I wanted to see Trae get to 40 points. I was like, get this guy the ball on an inbound so somebody can follow him. He can go to the line. Right. It never happened. Whatever. We're standing there. Kid walks up to me. He's like, hey, I got this for you. It's like, what? He's like, hey, I got this for you. I looked down. He was just holding his hand in an L.
Oh!
It was so brutal.
Like, how old is this kid?
16 or 17.
Wow.
Hey, I got this for you. And it was like, the way he was doing it, too, he was like, he's just standing there, like, just casual, like, got this for you.
Yeah, you gotta look down.
It was so bad, man. It was so bad, but I loved it. I loved it. My heart broke in two, but I wanted to hug that kid so much.
I love hearing you drift into sort of, you know, two teams now. You know, like, you're sort of enjoying, even though it's your own team getting smoked, like, you're supporting the home team. It's great, you know, doing the ice tray. But if you look at the Bulls, they shot 60% from the field, 54% from three, 14 for 26. So they, you know, executed well offensively, but defensively, when Trae Young goes 11 for 18, 7 for 9 from 3 with 13 assists, he did not feel any pressure, really, especially when it was...
Those like, separation threes where he's, like, fake driving and then step... I mean, those
nasty.
Were dirty. Oh, yeah. Yeah, like, I went, he went flying!
And then he's talking trash afterwards
as
well.
Yeah, he's like, you can't guard me.
And that's the thing, because Dosunmu did an incredible job on him. Was that last week? I think it was.
Yeah, 7 days before.
Yeah, and so Trae answered back in Yep. And that's what it comes down to, you know. It's like, how do you respond to that? And he did. So this was a perfect Trae Kirby game. Tons of scoring, you know, lots of threes. Got burned, but
hold
he's like,
himself.
Yeah, like,
yeah, that was nice, man. That was good. That was good.
I'm glad that kid just didn't punch you in the nuts. I mean, that just reminds me of, you know, you put a circle between your thumb and your first finger. Bang! or hit you in the chin or whatever. I mean, that's good. He played it cool, man.
That was nice.
He played it cool. Yeah, Trae always remembers. He's got a tattoo on his arm that says, always remembers. You remember, days before, our Chris Kirshner pointed that out. That was the point of the article on The Athletic. I mean, that was the premise. Mm-hmm. He definitely remembered Ayo, you know, being the shutdown guy,
right.
The guy who shut down. It's like, oh, yeah, Matthew Dellavedova can shut down Steph. I don't think so.
I
mean, that's essentially what it was.
I do love when this happens in the league. Like, Ruben Patterson is the Kobe stopper. And it's like, he probably had a game or two good against him, or the guy couldn't hit a shot for whatever reason. But, yeah, Trae remembers. Luka Doncic scores 41. Mavs beat the Warriors again, 122-113. Just an interesting point from Mavs Moneyball that I was reading this morning from Josh Bow. He wrote, quote, "It's almost undeniable in a pure entertainment sense how much more enjoyable it is to watch these Dallas Mavericks freed from the burden of Kristaps Porzingis and all the baggage he brought with him." You know, and then he goes on to talk about how there's no meandering post-ups and, you know, awkward KP drives and, you know, infuriating three-point misses from him. and it's just more Luka pick and roll, more rim running with like Dwight Powell, more opportunities for Jalen Brunson and Spencer Dinwiddie, who's obviously came back in that trade. And I think there's a lot of truth to that. He's averaging 19 points per game. Dinwiddie is in his last four shooting 60% and hitting threes. Yeah, this was, you know, if you looked at the trade, you know, well, Porzingis, probably the best player of the trade going to the Wizards, but he never played. And as Josh points out on Mavs Moneyball, like it probably just, it sometimes butted heads with the style you should play when you have Luka. Mm-hmm. And Dinwiddie is just more complimentary. Yeah. I think there's a lot of truth to that.
Yeah,
and they are more fun to watch.
Yeah, well, when the guy's in and out of the lineup, they just can't get that sort of chemistry going there together. Because he had good moments, but it always felt like it was either almost like a Porzingis game or a Doncic game. It didn't feel like they ever just together crushed a team. That's what it seemed like to me. So we'll see where Porzingis' career goes from here, because I don't believe he's played at all yet for the Wizards.
No.
And that's the whole problem with him. He's off the floor. But for the Warriors, the big talking point here is that Steph Curry did not take a shot in that fourth quarter. And people are upset at Steve Kerr for that. And, you know, Steph had five assists and he sort of said, well, they were trapping me, so I had to try to get it. But that's bullshit, if you ask me. Because Steph's sending a message to someone about something for me. Steph Curry can get a shot. He can shoot the ball 50 times any period he wants. He doesn't.
What's the message he's sending?
I don't know, but it's something.
Well, I mean, they were getting it out of his hands. They're doubling him. I think the message he said, they're doubling me, they're getting it out of our hands. We should have probably been doing the same thing. I think he called out Kerr for his team's defense because Luka was able to play one-on-one against whoever, while Steph was getting, he was getting four arms, and he kind of had to let go of the ball. If Draymond's there, it's different.
Yeah, it's Steph, though, and there was a couple of times those traps were coming, and he could see him coming. Steph from 30 feet has got the green light.
Just shoot it.
That's not like, oh, well, what's he taking that shot for? So, I don't know. I think there's something there. I want to scratch the surface.
I'm kind of with you. I think he can be very frustrated because it's like, why do you keep running a pick and roll? Why do you keep bringing another defender up there to take the ball out of your hands? And they did it time and time again in the fourth quarter, which is why he doesn't get shots. So then the ball pings around and there was nobody that could make the Mavs pay for it, right? And that's despite having like Moody out there having a nice game. Clay was out there. Poole probably should have got a little bit more time since the Warriors don't have any playmakers. We've talked a lot of times about how much the Warriors are missing Draymond. He can beat 4-on-3s. Like, he finds the right guy. And the other thing he does is when he gets the ball, first guy he's looking for is Steph Curry.
Yeah.
All these other guys, first thing they're looking for is a shot. You should be looking for Steph Curry. So on one hand, I think more ISO for Steph. Stop this pick and roll stuff. The guy can cook. Like you're saying, Lee, he can get a shot off anytime. He's money from 30 feet. But he should do it against one defender instead of 2-3. Yeah. And then on the other side, the Warriors absolutely can't guard. So Steph had to have been getting pissed because on one hand, he's having to get double teamed, pass the ball, and then they're not scoring. And then he's getting brought up into a pick and roll every single time.
Yeah.
So he's got to defend every single time. Doncic is scoring on him all the time. And then he's got to go and just pass it to somebody and stand and never get the ball back. So yeah, I can see him being pissed, especially since Warriors really struggling right now. They're not going to get the second seed. I think it's kind of a wrap at this point.
Yeah, I guess the Grizzlies lost last night, but Warriors, you know,
divisions, couldn't. They're going to win that division.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, the Grizzlies are just behind the Warriors for that 2 seed. Dre has joined them on their road trip, so he should be back soon. And this game,
he's scrimmaging, right?
He's playing. He's playing in scrimmages. You know, this game was close coming down the stretch. I think even when they weren't bringing a pick for Steph, Jason Kidd's defense was decent in that there was two bodies looking at him. I was surprised that they weren't running more, you know, splits off the ball like they usually do. Curry give it up and then just run around and then find screens. But that's Dre's job as the second ball handler to be the ball handler to pass from. Like, Curry passes it to him and then runs around. And they don't really have anyone that they trust as a secondary ball handler right now.
They could use Iguodala back.
He's barely played in the last 6 weeks. I mean, that's worrisome. It's definitely worrisome. And I think with Iguodala out, Moses Moody is going to take his minutes. And Iguodala may not be there in the playoffs. I mean, they're trying to work him back. But Moses Moody is a rook, is essentially Andre Iguodala. I mean, he played 15 minutes in this game, played great defense, hit those threes, and I think he may be in the Iguodala role in the playoffs if Iguodala is hurt, and that's worrisome. We're talking about a team that could be a championship team playing a rook. It is a sign that the Warriors drafted really well. I think Moody is smart. He said, my game is easier because my guy is doubling Steph, and I just hit shots. Jonathan Kuminga said recently, I don't have to shoot. I'm playing with some of the best shooters in the world. Like, these are rookies, I think, that are beyond their years. But when we're talking about going to the playoffs, these guys are going to be part of the rotation. It is worrisome for what they are. I mean, they're still, yeah, worst they're going to finish is the third seed. I don't think that's a really big worry if they get Draymond back. But, yeah, deep in their rotation, like if you're talking about Warriors, Suns, Western Conference Finals, the Suns are bringing out Cam Johnson and guys that are, you know, have had a lot of experience off the bench, and the Warriors are bringing out Moody and Kuminga. That is a bit of a worry.
Mm-hmm. Luka is just on one hell of a run right now. I just picked an arbitrary like basketball reference. Let's highlight the last 14 games.
Yeah.
He's averaging 34, 10, and 9. And the biggest part of that over this run, the three ball is falling.
Yeah.
When that three ball is falling at a 40% clip, which it is over those last four on, you know, 9 attempts per game, I mean, this guy, that's when he becomes next to unguardable, in my opinion.
Yep.
Just with the ability to play make, of course, still get inside, get to the line. But when you add the three, which he couldn't hit at the beginning of the season at all, looked a little out of shape, he's just on an incredible level right now.
Yeah, I think they have worked on his conditioning because he looks like he's got a little bit more energy, particularly late in games right now. And that's great what he's doing. And another huge game last night. Not to be a Debbie Downer, but again, in the playoffs, he's going to need someone else, though. This is what's caused them problems in the past.
Yeah.
No one else. Dinwiddie's been great for them so far, but it's a whole different story when you've got a whole, you know, series to plan for. So I hope that doesn't come back to haunt them a little bit.
Well, all the starters chipped in last night. You had a good guard game from Dorian Finney-Smith. Reggie Bullock had 14. You know, Dwight Powell had 13. Brunson had 14. Then you said 17 off the bench from Spencer Dinwiddie. So a lot of contributing guys last night, especially the starters there with Luka. Final games from last night. Let's throw them all in here. Kings beat the Spurs 115-112. Keep Popovich shy of his NBA mark. He's still has yet to tie Don Nelson for the most regular season wins in NBA history, let alone surpass him. We have the Clippers surge to the 132-111 victory, sweeping the Lakers this season. Oh my God, the Lakers. It gets worse and worse. And Cade Cunningham had 22 points as the Pistons held off the Raptors 108-106. Everyone noting from this one, the Pistons-Raptors game, Pistons coach Dwayne Casey, his ninth win in 12 tries against the Raptors, the team that fired him, in May 2018. Sixth straight victory. Three times the Pistons have swept the Raptors in the season series. It's truly amazing.
It is amazing because it's the Pistons.
I know. But the Pistons are playing a lot better recently. They're 7-26 on the road, but those three of those victories have come over the last little bit.
Excuse me. The car's ready.
Spam risk. Yeah, it's probably that body shop. They're spamming.
The victories on the road in the last four road games have in Boston, in Charlotte, and then here in Toronto for Detroit Pistons. So it was a nice. They closed it out. Sadiq Bey had a crazy, twisting, tough layup.
How did he get
inside
it to the rim?
That was amazing.
Yeah, how did he get the ball up back over his shoulder? That was wild.
And that put the Pistons up three with about 15 seconds to go, and then Cade Cunningham had a huge block, and the Raptors had a chance at the end, but nothing really falling.
I thought Swati Barnes, as Lee called him, had a shot there to block that Sadiq Bey shot. He had his arms up on the first foray into the lane, and then he kind of scooped it, and I thought he could. It was a low.
Oh, it was low.
Yeah, very low. I thought he was just chilling. He didn't want to foul, I guess. Anyways, that's I'm parsing there. That's an unfortunate. These Pistons, that's wild. It's just wild. Even Schumann pointed out that they have four winning records against other teams over that span as well, which is weird. They beat some teams, but then they get killed by other teams, I guess. But 9-3. They get up for a coach. You think they go into Toronto and they're like, "We're doing this for Dwayne." There's no way.
But that's like,
how are they 9-3?
I watched a lot of this game. This ball is like fizzing around the perimeter. Like they don't look like a team that's one of the worst in the league. I'll tell you that when they play the Raptors. That's so fair. Maybe they do.
But why would Cade Cunningham care?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
He's like, nice I like guy. You, Dwayne. I'm going to get this one for you. But it is wild. 9 wins against the Raptors. 97 wins total for the Pistons for Dwayne Casey. 10% of his games.
Like Gary Trent had a terrible game. Like he's got nothing to do with the history with Dwayne Casey. But watching the Raptors beat writers and reporters, just watching it unravel on Twitter, it's hilarious.
I mean, they were down huge. They made it a game. Well, Nick Nurse, look, they got a brutal whistle in the third quarter. Pistons went to the line a lot. They were pissed. Nick Nurse got very upset. Yeah. He gets tossed. Then the Raptors go on the classic run after the coach gets ejected and had a chance to, you know, win it or tie it at the end, but they couldn't shoot. And when the best shooter, Gary Trent Jr., is 4 of 23, 3 of 15 from three-point range, I mean, the Raptors are in deep, deep trouble. Cade Cunningham, I just want to show him a little love here. You know, number one pick, so he should be good. He's going to finish, what, top three for sure in rookie of the year race.
Yeah.
I don't think he's going to win it. It's probably still Mobley's.
Yeah, he's a chance.
But he's going to finish second or third. He's going to get a lot of votes, and rightfully so. But 22, 12, 5, 2 steals in 38 minutes. And Casey, prior to the game, saying, like, this guy's got the it factor. Mm-hmm. I love it. And it's so true if you watch him. He's awesome. He hasn't even scratched the surface on his potential. I'm so high on this guy. So, yeah, you know, you're happy if you're a Pistons fan because I think you got one. And then you got Sadiq Bey and you got Isaiah Stewart. And, like, these guys are going to be good players, but not to me the, like, franchise cornerstone guy that Cade Cunningham already appears to be.
Yeah, he's way out in front of all the rest of them already, even after being injured the first month of the season. And I think everybody just falls in line behind him already as a rook. Like, the way they're distributing the ball, you're right. I mean, they're whipping it around, and that's because Cade leads the way. And he is making sure that, I'm the number one guy, but he just makes sure everyone's involved. And, he's definitely the leader of the locker room already.
Yeah, he's got poise for sure, despite being, 20 years old?
Yeah.
So it'd be nice. I think it was Ziller writing this morning in his newsletter. Interesting to watch this team, what the Pistons sort of decide to do here, like in the offseason even. Like, is it like going into next year? Is it like, hey, one more year of being bad despite beating the Raptors in every game to get, you know, one more really good pick? Or do they start to add, you know, you start to add a couple vets if you can and build around your young potential? It's like, it's a tough decision for a front office to make, though.
Excuse me.
we got computers going on.
I know.
Just coughing up a lung. You all right?
No.
No, okay. Anyway, that's the question. And yes. I think that's very difficult. Yes, you're back.
I would say don't wait. I mean, it is a difficult balance, but you don't want to be like, we're just going to tank for another season here. You want to show Cade, hey, we're trying to win with you and build around you. Right. And I'm done.
You want to kick the can a little bit, though.
Yeah, but you don't. I just don't like the message of, like, know, hey, you're the number one pick, but we're just going to mail it in for a season here. Like,
yeah.
You've got to build a winning mentality. Yeah. And I think that's a part of the problem with, like, you know, what the Sixers did with Okafor and Nerlens Noel and Carter Williams. It was like, we're not even trying to win. And it just sends a bad message. It's hard to succeed in that environment.
I mean, they have vets, though, and Jeremy Grant.
Yeah, and Corey Joseph.
And so, Kelly Olynyk. It's like, what are they going to trade that's better than that? Or what are they going to get in a free agency pool? And they're not.
They're going to be bad again next year. Ain't no thing to worry about. Mm. They'll get another good draft pick, and that's kind of the plan, I would imagine. So year three, just like the Grizzlies, you know, that's when you trade away Valanciunas, right? Like, that's very similar to what's been going on with Doncic, to be quite honest. Like, Valanciunas was a good player, just getting in the way. So eventually, guys are going to get in Cade's way. But until then, just be bad. Stock up that energy.
Yeah. Are there any notes on Reggie Jackson burying the Los Angeles Lakers? Or do we even care to talk about
LeBron's got 264 points to pass Karl Malone. Plays the Cleveland Cavaliers in Cleveland 10 games from now.
Mm.
Last game of the season for LeBron.
Oh, there you go.
Are they going to stop the game because he passed Carl for a second?
Yeah.
Interesting. I say no, they can't.
No way.
You don't think they'll pass in Cleveland for the second all-time leading scorer guaranteed?
No way.
No.
No.
I'm with
second?
I think they do. Because they
in Cleveland is an interesting angle.
But also just because it's the milestone then.
It's second.
Stop the game, though?
For like a little, like, hey, no. Like, not like, okay, he's done a pause, but at that, like, next
at the timeout, you stop it?
Yeah, they'll acknowledge it.
The video,
sure.
Maybe a short, like, 5-second little vignette on the video board, but no kissing babies like what Steph did. Like, that's not happening. I don't think
so either, but we'll see. 264 points. So
264. Like 26 a game.
Yeah.
Crazy. He had 26 last night. I wonder if he knows.
He's figuring out the math. Yeah. He's like, oh, yeah, we'll get there for Cleveland. Oh, we'll break into there, Cleveland. All right, let's take our first break. Lots more still to come on this drop. We'll play a little Is This News, 5-Star Friday Fun, and a whole lot more. We'll be right back.
Danielle has taken up painting. Oil painting, acrylic painting, other painting. I don't know what it is, but it's just incredible. If I can convince her to open up a Shopify store, I know she'll be hearing the Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, just do it, to the first real life store stage, see, you made a sale, all the way to the did we just hit a million order stage? How about that? Shopify is there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap, Offering outdoor outfits or paintings, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From the all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., and Shopify is the global force behind millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Here's some information. Just like entrepreneur David Scott Martin of Antique Candle did for No Dunks on Shopify. How about that? And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/nodunks, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/nodunks now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/nodunks.
All right, back with No Dunks here in the Classic Factory, a little drop podcast on a Friday. Let's get to Is This News? Yeah, Is This News? Got some headlines for you guys. You can tell me whether or not they're newsworthy. First one, from The Athletic. Ever heard of it? Bradley Beal, recovering from a season-ending wrist surgery, says he's inclined to re-sign with the Wizards. Tass, is this news?
Yeah, baby. This is news. I think a contract is coming. I think he knows. He's also been in close contacts with GM Tommy Shepard. This is his first news conference in 5 weeks. And he sounded very, very pumped about re-signing with the Washington Wizards. A little juice here from that story as well. As I said, he's been in close contact with GM Tommy Shepard. Beal said, we thought that we were trying to get Domantas Sabonis at the trade deadline, but didn't happen for us. So he knew that Shepard was going after him, right. And then the Porzingis thing happened, which he is also very excited about. And I don't think this is just talk for him to sign the deal. He said Porzingis can be really exceptional for us. We're huge now. Just imagine him and Gafford out there. That's going to be sick. Mm. That's a quote, baby. That's going to be sick. And then you got Kuz, who's 6'9", 6'10", so we have great size. I'm excited about that. We've never had that. And he's talking about the future in Washington. And he noted, you know, where our practice facility is. We're trying to get people jobs and into these townhomes that are getting built over there. What stamp can we leave for our community? So I don't think that he is saying this merely because he wants to sign a contract and then demand a trade. I think he really wants to be there for the foreseeable future. Again, this article from Josh Robbins ends with, he's excited. It's a big summer. A big summer. That's a quote from Beal. It's a big summer, a big summer. So what is he saying? He's saying that he wants to get in the gym with his team because he's not playing until for the rest of the season and until the summer and try and get on the court with Porzingis and such and obviously sign a deal. I think he's foreshadowing him signing a big deal. And again, I don't see him as the type of guy to say, I'm out of here. I mean, down the road during this contract, sure. But I think he's giving it, for, in my eyes, at least a one-year run here. And that's a good sign for the Wizards. I know.
It's sick.
A five-year deal. That's going to be sick. And then I'm out after 1 year.
That's the big part that he's alluding to. He's eligible to sign a five-year, $246 million deal with the Wizards if he declines the player option of $36 million in 2022-23. That's big.
That's big. That's a lot of money, and that's his prerogative if that's what he wants. He clearly doesn't value trying to compete for a championship, because they're not going to. Him bringing up Porzingis, has he watched him play? Does he see him on the court? I mean, I know it's his teammate. You've got to say the right things. This team's not going anywhere. He wants to sign that deal. Go for it.
Right.
But he's basically saying, I don't really care about a championship. And that's his prerogative again. If he wants all that money, go for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, he might care about a championship. Just let me sign this big deal.
And he doesn't, though. He doesn't really.
Well, come on.
Yeah, he wouldn't be re-signing there. In his whole career there, what has happened in the past for him to have confidence that they're going to build a contender around him? They drafted John Wall. They drafted Beal. Other than that, who have they signed that's been like, yeah, that's the guy. Oh, we nearly got, that's the Danny Ainge. We nearly got Sabonis. Okay, great. You didn't. You got Porzingis instead. So they're just not, there's no confidence that I have. They don't attract free agents anyway, that they're going to be able to, all of a sudden, he's going to get the massive contract and they're going to be contending. If he is your best player, and I love Bradley Beal, you're probably not getting that close.
Right.
So,
yeah, they have cap room in a couple of years, not next year when Porzingis is signed, as well as, you know, a bunch of the role players. But he has hope.
Cap space is great in theory, but who's going to fill that cap space?
Beal's coming up on 29, too. I guess I thought maybe he was a little bit older in my head, but getting up there in age.
Sounds like five more years of Bradley Beal trade rumors to me. because I don't think they're going to be good enough, like Lee is saying, to be challenging for a championship, which means that he's going to be a guy who is in the mix for, is he the next star leaving? I put star in quotes because the Wizards are 17-23 with Brad Beal in the lineup, 11-10 with Bradley Beal out of the lineup. So
pretty similar.
Yeah, no, they're better with Beal out of the lineup because everybody else touches the ball. He's become John Wall for the Wizards at this point. So Porzingis is now Bradley Beal. So
he had an interesting
more
quote.
Stuff for the Wizards. More Wizards.
Beal said this quote: "As crazy as this sounds, this injury is a blessing in disguise too, because I can see the team, I can see our young guys develop, I can see Coach continue to develop too. I can see us grow as a team. I don't have to rush a decision. I don't have to rush anything." You know, just looking at it.
he's been extremely positive before he signs that 100%. Deal.
Guy's
he's
a positive guy, no doubt.
He's talking to Tommy. He's got Tommy's ear. I think he just broke news that Tommy's giving me that 5-year contract.
Yeah.
It's coming, baby.
Yeah.
I think that was a legitimate debate, whether or not he should get that contract. I
mean, we could still debate that.
We could debate it, but it's coming.
Yeah, exactly.
The Wizards know that they want to have a star that they can say, look, we gave him this massive contract. That's what teams want to do sometimes, because otherwise he'll go and they'll have no one there. Mm-hmm.
But as Trey just pointed out, they have a better, if not basically...
So maybe the Wizards shouldn't offer it to him then.
Well, yeah.
Well, they shouldn't. They probably shouldn't. He should sign for a smaller deal so they can get other players, but the Wizards... owner has said we will never tank, so they're gonna continue to just kind of be in the middle.
Yeah,
it feels I think it must have been like 4 seasons ago where there was the drama between like Wall and Beal, and Wall went out of there was fights in the practice room, and Bradley Beal is yelling at the GM, it's been 7 years of this shit. He was fed up with the Wizards 4 seasons ago.
Yeah.
But now he's willing to ink the deal because Kristaps Porzingis has the nickname the unicorn. He's special.
Well, I think he likes the fact that Spencer Dinwiddie was dealt. I mean, he butted heads with him already after only a couple of months of being there. Like, Spencer just came there in the offseason. I think to Bradley Beal, this is even a more clear sign that he's the number one guy. And Kristaps Porzingis is number two. I'm not saying that gets them to 60 wins, because it won't.
That'd be cool if they got to 40 wins.
Yeah, they never got to 50, right? This is the one franchise that got to 49.
But so what you're saying is, when it was Wall and Beal, and Beal's like, what are we doing here? We're just like...
Pass the ball, John!
Yeah, exactly. But has Beal now maybe become John Wall?
Yes.
And then who's going to be the new Bradley Beal saying, 7 years of this shit, Corey Kispert.
Got a great name. We don't talk about his name
enough. It's a great name. It is. Okay. Anyway, we'll see. Hey, get paid. He's going to get paid. I'm with you on that, Tass. It's sounding more and more likely.
Yeah.
That's what he's going
to
do.
I would like to see a couple of these role players go, even though they helped the team, and just more Rui, especially, because he looks like he's got some potential.
And I think that's what Beal is saying in those quotes. He's saying, like, maybe there's some flashes here, some consistency with some of these guys that we can have something that we can build.
We can make it to 500 next year.
Play. Next one, Sportsnet with the headline, Raptors, Anunoby, sidelined for 2 weeks with a fractured finger. We got some confirmation on this leak.
This is bad news for the Raptors. They need him back. He's so good. He's had a great season, both ends of floor, defensively very good. Offensively, he's having his best season.
Career highs, points, rebounds, assists.
And they miss him. Now, injuries can happen at any time to anybody, of course. But the thing with the minutes for Nick Nurse's team is, Freddie leading the league in minutes per game. He's injured. Siakam is second. He's been up and down a little bit. And OG is fifth. So I just wonder if those things are related.
I don't think his finger got tired.
It's just a lot of guys playing heavy minutes, just getting injuries. And again, 2 weeks, another 2 weeks, he's missed 20 games himself, OG, and there are 8-12 without him. So he is huge.
This is the hope is 2 weeks. I think it's going to be like, we'll go take a look at it. We don't have to do surgery. We think rest for 2 weeks, we'll get it done. So stay off your phone, OG. don't be typing away on your computer, stuff like that. And then hopefully he comes back. But that's not a guarantee that he's back in 2 weeks, Tess.
Right.
Yeah.
He's tough, though.
Yeah.
I'm saying that as something that's going to override an injury. Who knows? But they desperately... they need every part of their ensemble to get the most out of their ensemble. He is never going to wow you with a huge streak of scoring, but he adds to winning, period.
Trey, anything to add?
Here, let me think if I can something to add here. OG Anunoby, pretty good 3-point shooter.
Solid.
Yeah.
They need his 3
He's
points,
probably
Jimmy.
One of their better.
Yeah,
ones.
Exactly right. Because somebody's got to bail out the Raptors in half court scenarios. Sometimes it can be OG with a little bit of a pull up dribble package sort of game. But I don't know. With the Raptors, I kind of feel like I'll get a little nervous that they're missing a guy and then somebody else will step in and have a nice run here in the midst. So hopefully that's the case. Hopefully the Raptors can continue to compete, maybe get up to number 6. We'll see.
We'll see. Final headline for you. Philly Voice. Sixers to sign DeAndre Jordan as backup for Joel Embiid. Trey, is this news?
This is a meme, actually. Did it work for the Lakers, Mavs, Knicks, or Nets? No, it never does. Those teams somehow delude themselves into thinking it works. But maybe it will for the 76ers.
It's possible.
I mean, DeAndre Jordan, he's not an impact player anymore. He gives one effort on a play, and if that works, we're good. If it requires two efforts, I'm out. That being said, the Sixers do need a backup 5. They need some sort of size there. Mm-hmm. It's Paul Millsap and Paul Reed. Choose your Paul. Neither is tall. Mm-hmm. Only 6'9" or 6'8" for those guys. And honestly, the Sixers have had some success getting all of the Lakers' backup bigs in the past, right? They brought in Dwight Howard last year. They brought in Andre Drummond this year. He was doing solid there. And the question is, who else are the Sixers getting? They do need a backup 5. The other options out there are like Enes Freedom, Robin Lopez, or like a random athletic G leaguer. DeAndre Jordan at least has a connection with Doc Rivers.
Is Doc Rivers the Jordan whisperer?
He's the Tobias Harris whisperer, so he may be the DeAndre Jordan whisperer as well. I don't know. I'm not expecting much from DeAndre Jordan, but the Sixers needed somebody, and he is a human.
It's literally just if he can sop up any minutes at all and they don't get killed, that's
when,
what they'll
when
take.
When it beads off the floor.
Exactly,
yeah.
Because I saw a headline, you know, Sixers were leading the race to sign DeAndre Jordan. Ooh. I'd like to see that race play out.
Yeah, but I saw that multiple days in a row, that headline. Just get rid of that headline. Yeah, the Doc Rivers likes guys from the 2008-2009 season just gets rekindled with these talks. They're playing Paul Millsap at the backup center, essentially, over whoever. You know, they've got Willie Cauley-Stein on the roster. So he's
maybe gone, right?
They definitely want a veteran guy back there. But I think when it comes down to it, playoffs, Joel Embiid's going to play 40 minutes. So who's playing those last 8 minutes? I think it's going to be Paul Millsap. I mean, I think they're going to be
tiny.
He
has looked brutal, though, for them, too.
Yeah.
He looks old.
But I think he can play more than DeAndre Jordan.
Maybe, but
I think DeAndre
if Harden is there, you can at least sort of convince yourself, well, you got to, like, he's a bit of a threat still to catch a lob, you know, in a pick and roll. Millsap ain't,
I guess,
at all. So yeah. I think that's what they're thinking.
Millsap
here
can spread the floor if you squint. And
he
hope
has looked really good. And I'm not saying DeAndre Jordan is much of an improvement. I don't think I'm shocked that Willie Cauley-Stein isn't considered. I mean, that says a lot about him, actually, that he's not the playing minutes over DeAndre Jordan. He's getting waived for him, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
But we'll see. Yeah. Okay. So he's not a game changer, but they do need a backup 5. We're all agreeing with. And the Pauls are too small.
The Pauls are too small.
That's unfortunate.
Playing small Paul.
Okay, let's get to some 5-star Friday fun. For those new to the show, Trey, quickly, what is this?
5-star Friday, first Friday of every month, we read 5 5-star reviews on Apple Podcasts. Here are the 5 best. Our first one comes to us from Jackie Z's. More of a tone setter than anything.
Okay.
You think this is supposed to be like top 5 stars?
Yeah, absolutely. I think you nailed it.
I hadn't actually said it out loud yet. I was like, I'm going to just see if this works on the show.
Nice.
Crushed it. Oh, here's the rest of the review. TBJ, the starters, no dunks. Whatever you got to call it. These guys rock. 5 stars.
All right. Jackie.
Thanks for setting the tone, Jackie. Our next one. Hip and knowledgeable. 5 stars from the Persian rug slugger 69. Thanks for leaving a review, Lee. Love the show. These folks are hip and funny, yet have a ton of basketball wisdom. Always enjoy listening and try to catch the show on YouTube Live sometimes. 5 stars out of 5.
Oh, so the slugger might be in the stream team right now.
Yep. Might be in the stream team. Might not be in the stream team, but I mean, that's just a nice straightforward review.
It's great.
Yeah.
5 stars out of 5. Love
told
it.
You, Skeets, we goosed them for these.
We goosed
had
them?
Had to goose them. Our next review.
Oh, no.
It's not you, troll boy. Ran into these guys at a business conference. What seemed to be a normal meeting turned into a little buff boy contest. The host had the audience clap, so the CEO just had to come up on stage. After some deliberation, JD was asked to cut the music hard. Clearly, those little buff boys were wearing goose suits. It's a circus term. That's why we say they goose them. We definitely weren't picking Troll Boy as the winner. He gets it. Why? Skeets was named the winner. Oh, yeah. Best meeting we've ever had. Great merch, too. Love my 1 of 100 No Dunks All-Star jersey. Take a look at this crop.
Oh, great. Great. I got the win.
Yeah, that was very funny. Shout out to Basile A coming through with that. I think you should leave. We like to sneak these sketches into this show from time to time. So well done doing it as a review.
That's awesome. That's my favorite one.
Next one comes from WCJ123, saved by No Dunks, 5 stars. As a longtime Kings fan, it's sometimes hard to get excited about NBA basketball. But since I started listening to No Dunks last year, 2021, I have never ever enjoyed following the NBA as much as I do now. The No Dunks podcast crew somehow manages to be both funny and informative show after show after show. The only problem is that they don't talk about the Kings enough, but then again, why would they?
Well, this was written, as it says there, February 4th, so I hope WCJ123 goes and checks out yesterday's podcast, Thursday's podcast, where Lee talked in great detail about the Sacramento Kings.
Kings, anyways.
Well, oh, yeah, Kings.
Yeah, yesterday.
Right. The royal family.
Yeah.
I tweeted BetMGM.
Ah,
I said, come on, let's get it going here. Yeah. What's going to happen first? Winning season for the Kings?
Yeah.
Or Prince William becomes... Yeah. Yeah. Becomes king. They responded. I should have had it up in front of me, but they basically responded. Does that mean the Kings are trading Davion Mitchell?
Wow, that changes really, things, doesn't it?
I didn't really get it.
Well, but, interesting.
But anyway, they responded, which was nice. So maybe we'll get that up on BetMGM.
He's the one that could turn this because as we said, if he advocates, but. I think he wants the pop on his like Instagram and Twitter. He wants to write King of England.
Yeah, put it on LinkedIn. Yeah, it looks great.
Of course he does. Yeah. He wants it. And then he can be like, I've got it, strut. And then I'm like, all right. Then people say, well, you have to do this and you have to go to this ceremony. Right. You have to speak. And he's like, oh, no thanks. Willie, yours.
How long do you feel like he has to keep it for it to feel like he was the king? I think he can't keep it 24 hours.
No. I'm thinking like a year, like that, a calendar.
A year?
Sort of like, you know, from 2023 to 2024, I was king of England. I'm king of the world. And then Camilla say, no, king of England.
Right.
You're not king of the world.
Okay. Titanic.
Although Camilla, she doesn't become queen, I don't think.
No, she's not getting a title.
We don't need to do this.
There's still one review left.
Oh, yeah.
It's a long one.
Oh, boy.
Strap in.
Holy.
Heartwarming and heartbreaking.
Can't even see it.
5 stars from Cannon, Texas. I've only listened to the show briefly, but here's the synopsis from what I understand. Ostensibly about basketball, this podcast is at the core a treatise on fatherhood. While all of the hosts have children, the relationship between J.E. Skeets and his adoptive son, Lili, provides the most compelling storyline. Skeets is a rigid disciplinarian who pledges to embrace the day at all costs. Lili is a wandering Australian who found himself lost in the deep south of the United States years ago. One can't help but feel inspired by Lee's childlike enthusiasm as he exclaims, "Yeah, it's great!" about everything, while Skeets does his best to guide him through daily tasks. Which way to sit on a toilet, how to use Wi-Fi, and mark dates on a simple calendar. At times, Lee's exhausting charm begins to wear on Skeets, who struggles to control his temper and descends into outbursts of violent cursing. His brothers Tass and Trey do their best to keep the family together while their miserly grandfather Jason Doyle chimes in with sage advice from time to time. Pretty sure that sums it up accurately. Overall, it's a very good show. They should talk about the Spurs more, though.
Very funny.
5 stars.
Oh, that's great. That's the best one yet. Yeah, there's a lot of truth to that, too.
It wasn't until I read this review that I realized your relationship is a lot like
Bart and Homer. Lee, you're Bart.
Oh, eat my shorts, yeah. Says Lee.
That's good. Good stuff.
You're an interesting son to me, you know that?
Really son you never had.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, you guys have kids. I don't have kids, but
is
you are.
Why? Is that why you were like,
yeah. fearful that my actual son would turn out to be you.
Yeah.
No, it'd be an honor.
Well, you're an uncle anyway, aren't you? These
I
days?
Am an uncle.
How's that going?
Great. I don't get to go home to Canada often right now, but Lachlan's doing great.
Is he in Stratford? Is it Stratford?
No, they're in Kitchener. Close. Very close. Shout out to Lachlan.
Great name. Great name.
Like he'd be king one day. His father's from England.
Is he?
Yes.
Wow. So you could be King Skeetsy.
King Lachlan sounds awesome, actually.
Prince Skeetsy.
All right. Those were great. Great five-star ratings and reviews, of course. So keep them coming if you listen on Apple Podcasts. Still can't leave one on Spotify, eh? You can leave the stars, but you can't go into the funny description and an actual review.
Spotify's got other things on the go right now, sure. Other than leaving reviews, doing other stuff.
Okay. You want to do Tweet of the Night now, JD, or you want to take a break? What do you want to do?
Your call.
Let's do it.
Try
Tweet of the Night? All
let's,
right.
Let's feeling do good. Tweet feels of the good. Night. Yeah, why not?
Good spot.
Yeah.
Tweet of the Night. Wow.
I just love this quirky little story. When the Pelicans and the Blazers made their deal at the trade deadline, Larry Nance and Josh Hart traded teams. They also traded something else.
Mm. Yeah.
That's a very cool story. The former Lakers teammates just said, hey, we're swapping teams. Let's just swap houses. Quote from Larry Nance said, I own a house in Portland. Josh Hart, well, he owns a house in New Orleans. So we just swapped. I think this is real, too. This is neat.
Apparently it's happened before. I forget where I heard that.
Yeah, they said some other name. Yeah. I heard that too. They were teammates once upon a time,
with
right?
The Lakers.
Larry and Josh.
Larry and Josh with the Lakers. So they know each other. They trust each other's tastes, I guess. They trust each other that have a clean home.
Yeah. I'd like a house breakdown, though. Like, does one house have more bathrooms than the other? Are they like, you know, they both 5 and 4s, you know?
Basements finished or not? I trust that they FaceTimed each other and they saw the homes before trading.
Yeah, probably.
You know, they saw it all. Flip the camera, man. I don't want to see your face. Show me that toilet. You know,
but wouldn't it be funnier if it's like the trade is like house for house, but Hart has a barbecue to be named later coming and stuff like that.
Do you think they keep their objects in it?
That's a great question.
You know, like, is Larry Nance wearing Josh Hart's clothes now?
Oh, clothes?
Yeah, he's like, have anything you want out of the fridge. Well, yeah, I assume it's furnished.
Yeah.
You would have to.
Yeah. What was the extent of it?
Yeah.
I think they took all their clothes but left tchotchkes and furniture.
He's like, yeah, you can play my PlayStation. That's fine.
Yeah.
Just don't slam the controllers. Josh?
I saw an awesome camouflage controller over there. See that one, JD?
It belongs to my son.
Yeah,
I've not seen it.
Oh, it's camouflage, so it's tough
where
to
is
see.
It? It's camouflage.
Yeah, get it?
Yeah, sure, grab it.
Go grab it.
Just wheel on over.
That's an awesome controller.
I don't think... Are you going to make it?
Yeah.
All right, there's my son. Give it over to my son. Grabbing the controller.
Look at that.
Can you see it, or is it...
or is it camouflaging?
Just get a quick look at this controller.
Ooh, look at that.
Yeah,
I want to play on that.
Wow.
What would you like to play on that?
Mario Kart.
Well, it's a PlayStation controller.
So come on, they copied Mario Kart on PlayStation, didn't they?
Proprietary.
What do you mean they copied it?
I mean they've got a Smario part.
Smario part.
I mean, I wasn't going to say Wario because that's also a trademark.
Can't do that.
It's definitely racing games, but
okay, yeah, I take.
You're not
going
to get Mario and Luigi and Princess Peach and all.
What's Jared Allen playing? Elden's Ring. Or
Elden
whatever?
Ring, yeah, that's the big game right now.
That's hot.
It's all I see.
George R.R. Martin.
Yeah, he's involved somehow.
Really?
What are you doing, George?
Yeah, stop
he ain't writing those books.
Games.
He would like to do anything else besides write those books.
So.
But apparently this game, it's like very, very hard because all I see is clips of people running away from bears that are the size of a house and then just getting smacked in the face. Like it's just like literally just like 30-second clips of people running away and then dying in like a tragic fantasy sort of death. It's very weird stuff.
Well, we'll have to get Matty O on the show to review it for us.
Is he playing it?
Do we know? I don't know, but he's a big gamer. We should just send him a copy and just, you know, do a start a new show, a video game reviews with Matty O.
Something like that.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be cool.
I'll have to play Smario Party.
Matt would do it. We get the camera in the corner, you know, that type of thing.
Mm.
The PIP, the picture in picture.
You on Twitch, right?
Yeah, do it Twitch. Yeah,
people are doing that on the YouTubes. Why not?
It's logo.
What game, if we were to start a video game series, what would be the first game you would like to play?
I mean, FIFA or NBA Jam or something, or NBA 2K. NBA Jam, actually.
How about non-sports?
Non-sports. I don't know. I mean, I'm not down with games these days.
Any game.
James Bond, do they still have that? They still make that?
They still.
Know. You could get a Nintendo 64.
Yeah.
It's just like putting you on the spot. Name any video game that's not a sports game.
Where in the world is Carmen San Diego? It's not really a video game, is it?
We're not doing a live stream of you playing Where in the World is Carmen San Diego.
Going to Johannesburg.
Yeah, that's a great game.
we're gonna take our last break.
Joe Seward left a comment and a $5 gift in the stream team, and he writes, "Elden Ring is so hard." Anyway, you guys see Batman? It was great.
Apparently, it's getting great reviews.
Yeah.
But what is Elden Ring? What's like? What type of game? Playing.
Open world, exploring.
Yeah.
You know, conquesting.
Yeah. Am I trying to find Elden's ring? Elden Campbell's ring. Did he win a ring?
He got one.
He came back.
Yeah, yeah, nice. He came back at the Lakers, I think it was. Yeah, right, 2002.
Hey,
tweet that. Say, anybody playing Elden Campbell's ring?
Find a picture of him with his ring on. I hope nobody's listening to this so we can get this tweet off.
Oh, hold on.
Elden Campbell's cock ring. Don't search for that. Not on this Wi-Fi.
Too late.
Don't.
What were you
going to
say?
Well, I guess maybe I got the Mario part. Mario Smart, what I call it?
You call it Smart Mario Part. Mario Part.
Right. I got it confused because, JD, you also have a Switch in the house.
Yeah.
Double console house.
Big gamer.
Got that right.
You got a Zelda on that?
You got a Zelda, yeah.
How was that? Because you reminded me of the role-playing, and I know you like the Zeldas.
It's great. I enjoyed what's the Zelda
Link?
Game? No. Breath of the Wild? Is that what it is? The latest one? The one on the Switch, anyway.
Yeah.
It's fine. You got to cook in it, though. Which I'm not. You got to collect ingredients and cook.
Did you say this on the air or off?
Possibly.
I remember you saying this. That's
when you strange. Have to cook and craft things, I don't know. It's a little too realistic for me. You know what I mean? Jackson always says, I don't like anything where any game where I have to eat. Like anything, you know, or like Red Dead Redemption, you have to eat, otherwise your character, like, you know, he starts to fade and he starts to get hungry and he's not as strong. So he just smokes cigarettes, like, because that will give you like a little burst of energy. So I walked into the room one time and he's like, and Jackson's like, I gotta find some smokes. Because my character is like, why don't you just eat something? But anyway,
you gotta cook.
That's gotta cook.
Weird.
Amazing.
The Last of Us is okay because you got to craft like weapons as you find it. Like that's a good game. We should play that.
All right, yeah. Chris started a whole new series here on our YouTube page.
Yeah, there's a couch over there.
Yeah,
there's a TV right there. If you saw on our No Dunks Instagram account or Twitter. Showed a shot of the entire garage recently. Yeah, we were going to use the space here.
All right. We're playing Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego?
Yeah.
Live tonight, 9 p.m. No, I'm kidding. We're going to take our final break. When we come back, Pick'em Results and Rapid Fire Fun. Okay, Pick'em Results from last night, brought to you by BetMGM. It was the Bulls-Hawks, Chicago favored by 4.5 on the road here down in the Fortress. Trey Kirby in attendance. But Tass, you called it. You went with Atlanta. You said they bounced back, and they sure did. Despite the Bulls looking like they were going to win this game, and Trae Young taking over, so you got that victory. You're 2-1. Here you go, Tass. You're feeling good here in March. Trae falls to 0-3. Still looking for your first dub, and then Lee and I are 1-2. So a lot of us struggling here. But what's tonight's game?
Milwaukee, Chicago.
Ooh, back to back.
This one is for Trae. because I knew he'd pick the Bulls.
Yeah, you did me dirty on this one.
A little bit.
Yeah,
little
you
bit.
Boxed him into a corner, man.
Why is the line 3.5?
That is too small of a line.
Yeah.
The Bulls are on a back-to-back. They traveled.
Atlanta.
Yeah. 3.5 points.
But, you know, why?
Why? Why exactly?
Everybody, I assume, is playing for the Bucks. Bulls shorthanded. I mean, the Pat Connaughton isn't there. Brook Lopez isn't there.
Yeah,
but the guys that you know are going to be there. 3.5 point line. So the three of us, excluding Trey.
Well, wait, who's Lee's taking? Is that a bull or is that a
Does that look like deer? A bull?
Well, I don't know.
You mess with the Bucks, you get the horns. Antlers.
Okay, so three of us, have the Bucks to win by just 4. Yeah.
All right, here's another line for you.
Yeah.
Over or under. The line is 0.5. Flagrant fouls by the Bulls on Grayson
Allen.
Yes.
Ooh.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Ooh, somebody's got to send a message.
Hopefully it's over.
Jesus.
I mean, Tristan Thompson is like, we're going to get him.
Yeah.
He wasn't even a Bull.
No.
But he's like, oh, we're going to get him.
That's why they signed him for this game.
I guess I'll hit the over on that. All right. So, Trey's the only one taking the Bulls at home. Everybody else got the Bucks here on a Friday night. Let's wrap up this Drop podcast as we always do with a little rapid fire fun. I got the questions. Got Task Trey and JD answering here today. First one, Grammy nominated rapper Jack Harlow is making his feature film debut in White Men Can't Jump, a remake of the 92 sports comedy that we once reviewed on Film Session.
Mm-hmm.
Every movie ever made will be redone.
Yes.
This is just where we're at. So I guess Jack Harlow is going to be playing the role of Woody Harrelson, portrayed in the original film. He is white. So can he jump? Probably not. Good call. Variety says the filmmakers are currently in the process of finding the actor to fill the role played by Wesley Snipes. So let's help him out. Who are you guys casting for Sidney Dean? Tass.
I cringe at the thought of this movie.
I'm with you.
Because I love White Man Can't Jump. I'm no movie buff, but there's no way this can be anywhere close to the original. Because it's so dependent on acting. It's so dependent on Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes and Rosie Perez. What are you going to do, Jack Harlow? Let me help it out by bringing in Michael B. Jordan. I think he can ball.
Wow.
He can talk. Like Wesley Snipes did.
I like
I
it.
Guess.
Yep. I don't
That's
mind
my
that.
Pick.
Okay, what about you, Trey?
That's actually a really good pick. I want that to be my pick.
What do you got?
I went away from a known actor because to me, one of the funniest things about White Men Can't Jump is watching Wesley Snipes play basketball, and you're like, oh, you are a ballet dancer who had to learn how to play basketball in this. So I'm going with an actual basketball player. I want the LA Sparks' Liz Cambage.
Oh, ooh, interesting twist.
Yeah, it's all about subverting expectations with White Men Can't Jump. Yep. You're supposed to underestimate the team that's hustling you out there, so maybe you show up with a woman basketball player. You're like, oh, we're going to take this team, no problem. And then she just backs you down in the post, puts you under the basket, and hooks them. There was that great clip of her a couple of seasons back, like getting the ball in the post and laughing at the person below them too small. So I assume she's got the trash talk as well. Mm-hmm. So give me Liz.
Oh,
that's a good one. She's got the personality for sure.
JD, who you got?
I was also surprised to hear that they're remaking this perfect movie. I can't remember I think I liked it. I think
probably
perfect.
Like
it's perfect.
It's
I hope
not
you like it.
Perfect, but it's it's enjoyable and I put way too much thought into this. But ultimately, I'm not going to tell you my runners up. But ultimately, I'm going with John David Washington, who is of course Denzel Washington's son. I didn't know that, actually, but he was in Tenet, and he was also in Black Klansman, I believe.
Yep.
But really what sealed it for me was his role in Ballers as Ricky, the sort of cocky, was he a quarterback or he's a football player anyway, a running back or something. And I think he's got the chops and I think because he's Denzel could actually play basketball, so he probably plays basketball a little bit. I want to think. Can Denzel play what?
I don't know.
Well, he's in He Got Game.
He Got Game,
He's actually playing.
Okay.
He can fake it. He can fake it.
Yep. Okay.
So. And I think his son was like a college football player or something as well, so an actual athlete too.
Oh.
Yep.
Lee, how do you feel about this? Rebooting White Man Can't Jump.
They've just run out of ideas in Hollywood. We're seeing Batman again. I mean, that's it. No more Batman or Superman. That's it.
You're calling it.
That no more. Yeah. No more. We can't. I mean, what are you going to... he's fighting the Joker again, you know? Like, all right, we've seen this. Come on.
I mean, in general, I agree with you, but it's like they have... We've seen, like, five different Spider-Men already.
Yeah, it's the same, yeah.
Like, yeah, but now we got a good Spider-Man. Yeah. Like, you just got to keep going through until you hit the right one.
Yeah, wow.
At least in, like, their comics... You know, it makes sense. Yeah. Like, they've been making the same comic book about the same characters over and over and over again. They twist them, they do all these changes.
That's so true.
It almost makes sense in the movie world to keep doing that. But, like, I'm with you on this.
Yeah.
We don't need another White Man Can't Jump.
No.
Just go watch White Man Can't Jump.
Yeah. Just leave things.
And Jack Harlow, I mean, he's not even going to be. He's not going to come close to what he does. Like, I know he's never acted in anything, but I'm pretty confident about that. Yep. Also, he looked like he sucked at basketball. I'm sorry. In the Celebrity Game, I thought he was garbage. I know he scored, but it looked like the luckiest shots ever to me.
Who is he? I don't even know.
He's a rapper.
Yeah,
he's a Grammy-nominated rapper. Yeah.
All rappers want to be ballers, and all ballers want to be rappers.
Bars.
All right, next one here. This week, the Boston Celtics signed Matt Ryan to a two-way contract. No, not that one. You big Falcons fan.
Oh, yeah.
That one, that Matt Ryan's still slinging around the pig skin, the hog skin, as some of us called it. This Matt Ryan, though, currently plays in the NBA G League for the Grand Rapids Gold, but now he's here on the Celtics two-way deal. But back to the football field, weird question. I just want to know your favorite quarterback of all time, and if anybody's going to say Warren Moon. It's just a great name, and he was a good quarterback.
It's a good name.
Greatest Canadian, quarterback of all time. Warren Moon, he played in the CFL. I don't think he was Canadian.
Yeah, I'm going a similar route. An American played in Canada. Mm. Doug Flutie.
I knew your answer. That's great.
Same, yeah.
Love my Dougie. You know.
Got your Flutie flakes still?
I wonder if I do. No. No. I had a poster of Doug once upon a time. Yeah. He loved it. Remember when he did the drop kick?
Yeah.
That was cool.
Crazy.
That was cool.
How many points was that for?
Two points.
2 points. It's like a rouge. Exactly.
Yeah,
or is that 1 point?
That's 1 point. Oh, yeah. I'm confused there for a second. Yeah, you drop it on the ground in the NFL. I don't know if that's allowed anymore. It hits the turf and then you kick it through.
Yeah,
and that was worth 2 points.
But it hadn't been done in like so long,
decades.
Yeah, so Dougie. Yeah, Dougie got screwed. Just to tell a quick story, he was the Buffalo Bills quarterback. They drafted Rob Johnson, who was a big prototypical quarterback.
Yeah.
But Dougie was having a great season because Johnson was hurt. And then when Johnson came back in like week 14 or something, they just threw Johnson back in the starting lineup, screwing Dougie, because Doug got them to a place they were going to be in the postseason for the first time forever. They screwed Dougie. And this was a Friday night. I happened to see Doug Flutie in a Niagara Falls casino when they were playing on the Sunday in Miami.
Oh, wow.
But he was the backup at this point, and I think he was pissed, and he wasn't with the team. Speaking of piss, I saw him in the bathroom.
Nice.
We urinated next to each other, and I said, Doug, you got screwed. And he said,
Was he slinging the pigskin?
Yeah. I wasn't not sure if he was circumcised or not, but he left the bathroom. And it's unfortunate. Doug got screwed.
There you go.
And now he's stumping for Herschel Walker. What's up with that, Doug? Anyways.
And he is. I do forget. He was like one of the greatest CFL football players of all time, right? Like he's got like how many Grey Cup wins? And
A lot,
yeah.
He was good. He was an Argonaut. He was a Stampeder.
That's right.
Chicago Bear once upon a time as well.
Oh, right. Wow. I'm glad I asked this question. Who's your favorite quarterback of all time?
I saw this question and I had my answer instantly.
Okay.
Randall Cunningham.
Oh, yeah. He knows that sports game.
Yeah.
This guy loved Philly in the 90s, I think.
I did.
You did?
We used to have a Philly Eagles jersey, and it was Cunningham. And, you know, after they started the NBA in Australia, they tried the NFL. And I'm like, yeah, I'm getting it. So I got an NFL football and stuff at home and got the Randall Cunningham jersey.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Didn't last as long as my NBA career did.
My career.
All right. Great pick.
So Randall Cunningham. Great runner.
Mm.
Great passer.
He's a threat.
Great punter.
Yeah.
91-yard punt from a quarterback? Wild stuff.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, weird, huh? He was like an all-American punter in college, as well as being a football, like a quarterback.
Wow.
Eagles Randall Cunningham. Great Randall Cunningham. Vikings Randall Cunningham. Probably my favorite. Cunningham to Moss.
Oh, yeah.
Great times.
He could sling.
Go deep.
The word slinging the hog skin or the pigskin, that guy was a slinger.
He was a slinger.
Yeah.
JD, I know you love the football. Who's your favorite?
Oh, I love the football, yeah. my pick is Matthew Matt Saracen, who? Well, he's the former backup quarterback of the Dillon High School Panthers before being thrust into the spotlight after Jason Street suffers a career-ending injury. Oh, he had a hard time trying to gel with Riggins, Tim Riggins, and what's that other guy's name? Well, anyways, he had a hard time.
Was it Smash?
Is this Friday Night Lights?
Yes, Friday,
this,
yes.
This is definitely what he's talking about.
Okay, I'm just confirming.
Clear eyes, full heart, can't lose.
Okay.
Matt Saracen. Best quarterback.
Slanging it.
Final one. According to my sources, Ben Simmons is ducking the Nets-Sixers game in Philadelphia on March 10th because he hates us. He doesn't want us traveling to this game. So, you know, look, I thought he might rip the Boo Bird Band-Aid off, just get it over with, but nope. Back is sore, he's not ready, conditioning, all that. You know, look, he doesn't want to play there. Okay, that's fine. But my question is, what's something you've been avoiding doing, maybe recently or not? Tass?
Recently, been avoiding buying clothes. Hmm. I know I need to refresh, but just lazy.
Yeah.
I you know.
But you don't want to go to a mall, I assume.
I love malls.
Really?
I don't know.
You do.
I like going to stores. I mean, I love malls.
I love a mall too, man. Food court?
Yeah, food court. That's the best part.
This is why you love the mall.
It's like, what if instead of one restaurant, you could go to 10 restaurants?
Yeah. There's got to be on like Uber Eats or Grubhub or something an option where you just select.
Mall.
One, like, no. Basically, like, yeah, one bill, but four restaurants.
Surprise me.
I wouldn't go that far.
No,
but
mall
I, like,
roulette. I like that.
Give me a pretzel. Give me a sandwich.
Yeah. Just whatever. Yeah. Okay. Sure. Sounds good.
Yeah, grab bag. All right. What have you been avoiding doing here, Trey?
I didn't really have a good answer for this one until this morning when I pulled my deodorant out of the cabinet and I looked and it was like... You know, when you can see, like, the plastic underneath, and you're like, my other deodorant's downstairs. I guess I'm just scraping the pits on this.
Yeah, like, you're hurt like, yourself. Cut your arms.
It hurts so bad. Like, your armpits are just, like, completely irritated and red. Just toss it right in there. Wear an antiperspirant. As you can see, totally working.
Just
That's another thing I've been avoiding doing is raising my arms because people are going to get you if they see that pit stain.
Organ taxes. Are huge.
I'm supporting you.
Holy moly.
Your baby blue, it's kind of blending in there.
Yeah.
I couldn't see yours, really.
Yeah. Can we up the contrast on this here? So you can see how sweaty I am.
Yeah. Well, JD, take us home. What's something you've been avoiding doing?
Yeah, kind of a boring answer, and I actually forgot about it. So I'm just going to be honest and say it's my colonoscopy. I got to get it done.
You had it all planned?
I had it all planned, but I had to get another thing done, and I put it off. I was very, very happy to put it off.
Yeah, for sure.
And I'm more worried about the going under, like they put you under for it, and I suppose I could just white knuckle it and stay awake for it, but I don't think I want to do that either.
That's an option, huh?
It is. I think it is. I know people who have done that, and they didn't like it. It was not pleasant. And I had a friend who actually woke up. She woke up in the middle of it, and they were like, "Look at." See? That's your colon. She's like, please put me back to sleep now.
All right.
If there's any consolation, I'm supposed to go to JD, so...
let's go together.
Yeah, BOGO. I don't know.
Maybe.
I mean, Trey and Matt used to have their back waxing trip together.
That's true.
Maybe we could do
your Groupon deals that you guys would get.
I think you lay in a similar manner for both of those appointments.
The dude who books it, at the place at Piedmont, he's got the best name ever.
Oh boy,
Dorsey Dunkelberg.
I thought it was going to be Colin. Colin.
Dr. Colin Scopey.
Yeah. He's the friendliest guy in the world. And he calls and is like, "Hi, it's Dorsey Dunkelberger calling about your colonoscopy." And I'm like, this is a dream, right? Like, this is
Dunkelberger.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yes,
name.
Dunkelberger.
Dorsey Dunkelberger.
The guy is a consummate pro.
Okay, Mr. and Mrs. Dunkelberg, you have a son. Any names picked out? Darcy.
It's wow. Not Darcy, it's Dorsey.
Oh, Dorsey.
Yeah.
Well, see, now I want to go. I want to meet him.
Yeah. I mean, I've never met him. I only talked to him on the phone, but lovely, lovely man.
Dorsey Dinkelberger?
Dunkelberger.
Dunkelberger. Sorry, it's a tough name to remember.
I know.
All right. Well, get him a no-dunk shirt.
I know.
Take one. We can get him one.
That guy's dunking all the time.
All right. That's Rapid Fire. That's another Drop Classic. Leave your 5-star ratings and reviews. Email in your NBA questions to nodunks@theathletic.com. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, @NoDunksInc. Grab yourself an athletics. Are you okay? Can't stop thinking of it.
Just see me and JD turning up together. Have make it a little competition. Have some fun with it, JD. You know?
How do you win?
Go on.
Yeah. I don't know. But that's how we get.
Most polyps win or something? I mean,
Dunkelberger says, you got a 50 burger in there. 50 polyps, my man.
Yikes. I'll have a calling contest with you any day of the week. Wow.
It is on.
Oh, we gotta make this a video now. Great. Stream it and everything. I was saying, grab yourself an athletic subscription. Go to theathletic.com/nodunk so they know that we sent you. There is $1 a month deal on right now for new subscribers if you've been, for whatever reason, waiting to get an athletic subscription. So go take advantage of that. And cop some No Dunks merch over at nodunks.com. All right. Fun way to end this Drop podcast. Another week in the books. We'll be back on Monday to talk about our weekend winners and losers. There are a ton of games on this weekend, so we'll have lots to talk about on Monday. What you got a comment? What are you just giggling away? You're just still thinking about this battle you're going to have, right?
Me and JD just going to have a gentlemanly... It's like an arm wrestle, but it's a colon contest.
Everybody leave your picks for the poop'em payoff.
Alright guys, we will see you on Monday. Till then, Clipper Bros.
You heard it here first. Have a great time. Turn up. Love you guys. Awesome.
Thanks for joining us, and remember, Trae Young always remembers.
Embrace the weekend, people.